Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with Wallet Hub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for Wallet Hub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at Wallet Hub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years. My goal is to help you manage your money better and hopefully have a little bit of fun in the process. Let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. But today, we're talking about buying a car. It's a daunting task for a lot of us, and it's common to be intimidated by everything from the technical specs of the cars to the financing lingo. I mean, just the sticker prices alone are enough to get me sweating. But heading to the car lot uninformed and unsure of yourself is a recipe for costly mistakes. The average new car sold in April 2026 went for $49,461. That's up from a little over $30,000 in 2012. And auto loan interest rates are about 60% higher than they were just 5 years ago. So it's no surprise that we collectively have about $1.7 trillion in auto loan debt. So needless to say, buying a car is probably one of the most significant financial decisions you'll make this calendar year, if not several of them. So you need to get in shape before making that kind of mad dash to the car of your dreams. Fortunately, I brought in a great trainer for a crash course on how not to crash and burn at the car lot. To help you minimize the stress that often comes with buying a car, as well as maximize your savings and avoid buyer's remorse, I'd like to welcome our guest, Brian Bastin. Brian spent 14 years as a general manager and minority operating partner of Mercedes-Benz of Palm Beach, and he is the Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Program Director at Kaiser University's flagship campus, where he teaches automotive management and finance. So he's the perfect person to help us out here. Brian, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
It's doing great. Good morning. Thank you very much.
To get right to it, what advice do you have for people who are thinking about buying a car but aren't quite sure they can afford it? I know a lot of people right now are kind of trying to crunch the numbers and make everything work, but they're not quite sure if it's the move to make. What do you suggest for them?
Yeah, it's a really important concept right now, especially with new car transaction prices hovering around $50,000. So it's obviously a major decision people have to make. Fortunately, there are some really good guidelines and metrics that we can take a look at. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I would tell people is the first rule of thumb would be to take a look at what your gross income is. So just for simple math, let's say that you and your spouse make $100,000 a year, you could be looking for around a $50,000 vehicle is what you can expect to be able to afford. Now, that's a rule of thumb. Obviously, everybody's situation is different. People have different obligations and responsibilities and things like that. But as a general rule of thumb, that's a pretty good measurement. Now, when you're talking about a $50,000 plus vehicle, obviously, most people aren't just stroking a check for that, and they're going to be looking to finance or lease that vehicle. So on that side of things, your monthly payment for a finance deal, so if you choose to finance it, should be somewhere about 15% of your take-home pay. Mm-hmm. So after your withholding and after your FICA taxes on that. When you tack in things like insurance and gas and maintenance, that number will rise to about 20%. If you're considering leasing the vehicle, or if you're considering maybe a used vehicle, it would be a little bit less than that. It would be somewhere about 10 to 12% for your monthly payment and around 15% for all your expenses, including insurance, gas, and maintenance.
Gotcha. So those are some pretty good guidelines to keep, I guess, people from going down the wrong road of all the bells and whistles, really kind of expensive car that they can't necessarily afford.
And you get very emotional about a car purchase, and you get in there and you smell the leather and the seats and all that stuff. And sometimes you get a little bit emotional and you go a little bit beyond those. So it's really important that you set those parameters from the start. You know what those are, and you treat it a little bit more as from an objective standpoint than getting all excited and making decisions based on subjective factors.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice there. So once you determine that you need or want to purchase a vehicle and you kind of have a rough sense of what you can afford, what do you recommend for people from there? Are there kind of any, if you were going to buy a car tomorrow, like are there any insider tips or tricks that people should know before kind of just blindly heading to the dealership?
Yeah, there's a couple different things I do. So the first thing I would do is I would certainly do my research beforehand. So everything from making sure that you're walking in there with a known value for your trade-in. So I would go to a place like a CarMax or the like, or a Carvana. Kelley Blue Book's another good online source, and know what your vehicle's going to be before you walk into the dealership, because that's obviously going to be a point of contention during the negotiation process with that. Another thing that I would do, if you are intending to finance the vehicle, I would speak to your own bank ahead of time as well. While sometimes manufacturers have some really good subvented interest rates that are going to be out there, in the cases where there's not, if you go into your own bank and you have a number of a certain APR that you can get from your own bank, that gives you a little bit more leverage in the negotiation process.
For sure. And speaking of the negotiation process, I think that's something that kind of intimidates a lot of people, especially people who haven't done bought a car in a while or ever. So what should people keep in mind when they're negotiating with a car dealer? I think all of us really want to avoid getting swindled, and we hear the people that happens from time to time.
Yeah, that's certainly a major concern. So, first of all, is you should do your research on the dealers. Take a look at reviews and things along those side of things. One thing that I've recommended some of my friends, and they've had some tremendous success with this, is before I even decide what dealership I'm going to go to, I might send an email out to three local dealerships that are out there. So if you're looking at a Toyota, for example, send it to three Toyota dealerships saying, "Hey, I'm looking to buy a vehicle here in the next week. What's your best price?" And one of those three is going to get back to you. So you're going to already be in a little bit of a leg up in your negotiation process. Another important thing to remember is when you go into certain dealerships, you might see addendum stickers on the window along with the MSRP sticker that says, "It's we have some rust proofing on the vehicle, or window etch in the vehicle, or door edge guards and things like that." Those things are negotiable, and if it's not something that you want, and it certainly then shouldn't be something you pay for. So don't feel like I absolutely have to take this. Now, a dealer is a private business, and they can choose to sell you that specific car or not sell you that specific car, but you as a consumer don't have to take it, and you have been at your option to be able to walk out and go to another dealership. So if those are things that are not of value, I certainly wouldn't pay extra, because that's going to add to a financial strain for you.
Gotcha. So it basically comes down to kind of knowing what you want and not really budging from that, and having some negotiating power if you can from some other offers, basically.
Correct. The more information you get, the better. Certainly, the dealers are armed with information. They do this every single day, multiple times a day. As you mentioned, this might be something that you do every 3, 4, 5 years, or maybe even longer on that side of it. So, the more information you get, the more at your disposal, the better off you're going to be in the process.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Any negotiation, I don't think the pro athletes are going in there without information to help bolster their case. That's just
Correct.
a world I am familiar with, I guess.
Right.
So going to the dealership or wherever to buy a car without a lot of context or kind of ammunition from a negotiating perspective would be a mistake. What are some other mistakes that you've seen car buyers commonly make?
One of the things they do is a lot of times they understand there is maintenance that needs to be done on a vehicle, and you will have to maintain your vehicle, but it's really not part of the thinking in the upfront process. And again, there's not a lot of well-published information about this, but what you can estimate is somewhere about 10 to 12 cents per mile on a new car. Start budgeting that up for things that might happen. You never know what that might be. You get a you damage your rim, or something goes once the vehicle's out of warranty, your regular maintenance aspects of it. All of these things are important. And a lot of times you realize, yes, I will have maintenance out there, but you don't understand how much you have to save up for it. And if you have a current car that's out of warranty right now, that needs to be up to about 15 to 17 cents per mile driven. So by starting to put a little bit of a fund together, that can help you for that rainy day that you never know when that's going to happen, because the law of Murphy's Law is going to say, when bad things happen, they kind of come in bunches for that. And you have something happens with your house and this and that, and then all of a sudden you get a car bill on top of your payment and become a financial strain. But if you start saving up early on, that can really help you.
Yeah, that's definitely great advice there. One other thing I wanted to ask you about quickly, I guess, is you mentioned this before. I guess What should people kind of keep in mind in terms of buying a new car versus a used car, or buying versus leasing? Are there any quick kind of rules of thumb that you would recommend there?
So when you take a look at whether you should buy new or used, obviously we talk about $50,000. That's a pretty big hit for a lot of people to be able to afford. So a used car could definitely be an option for them, especially if you're looking at a certified pre-owned vehicle. That at that point when you buy that depreciation, that first hit, and we all have heard you drive the car off the lot, it automatically starts depreciating. In most cases, that does allow other people, the first owner of that car, to take that depreciation hit on that. So a certified pre-owned vehicle could be a great option. It's going to save a little bit money on the purchase price, plus you have the backing of that warranty. When I say certified, I'm talking about certified from the manufacturer, not just from a used car dealer putting their own certification on that. As far as leasing and financing go, what you have to take a look at there is really what are your intentions. So and whenever you lease a vehicle, the monthly payment will be lower because, again, you're not paying for that depreciation aspect of it. However, you are limited in terms of the mileage that you can drive. It's a little bit more onerous on you for the maintenance aspect of it that's going to be there. So you will have to make sure that you really maintain that vehicle well on that. And then at the end, you are going to have to start that process over again. Now, you do have the option to maybe buy the vehicle at the residual value if it makes sense to, or you can walk away from it, but you're not building up that equity. So if you have that joy of ownership, you're looking to keep the car for 7, 8, 9 years, then the financing aspect of it's going to be better. If you're looking to turn your cars very frequently, always be under factory warranty, maybe to be able to get a little bit more of a car for that payment that you're looking at, that could be the way to go for you as well. Or perhaps if you have a business and you could put it into your business and get some of the tax benefits of that, I would recommend discussing that with a certified tax planner or an accountant on that side of things. But that could be something you want to take a look at too on a leasing of your vehicle.
Yeah, that's great advice as well. And so I know you spent more than a decade working at a car dealership. I'm sure some kind of wild things went down there. Do you have any stories that you can share with our audience real quick that might be kind of interesting or entertaining?
Yeah, kind of the weirdest one. I mean, from a car dealer, I was very happy because I was able to make a lot of money on it, but it didn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense to me. But we had a customer that every year would buy a new Mercedes-Benz SL 600. This is the V12 Mercedes-Benz convertible. And we would deliver it to their house. And every Sunday, what they would do is they would back it out of their garage, out into the driveway, put the convertible top down, leave the car open or the sunroof open on it, listen to the radio, not go anywhere with it, and then park it back in the garage. And they would do this for a year, and then they would trade that vehicle in. So I would be getting a 1-year-old car with maybe 200 miles on it, and every year they would just buy a new car. That's probably the wildest story I've ever seen because they never really drove the car. It was just something they wanted to do every Sunday afternoon is put the convertible top down, listen to the radio, and go on with life.
Hey, that's if you have enough money to do it, why not, I
Yeah,
guess?
not everybody could do that. I certainly couldn't do that,
But they
but
were really paying for
that
the depreciation, weren't they? And not getting
yeah,
their
they
money's
were,
worth.
but they just really didn't care. That's just what they wanted to do. That was their little idiosyncrasy, and yeah, it was a lot of fun for everybody, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's a better way to, I guess, drink and listen to the radio if you're going to be
Yeah,
in your
there you
driveway
go.
the whole
Right.
time. I don't want to take up too much of your time. You've given us a lot of good stuff to think over. But one thing that occurred to me in planning to talk to you is to ask what you thought about kind of working in an auto dealership or selling cars as a job. A lot of people kind of say, oh, if you're kind of a mover and shaker, that kind of person, you can make a ton of money. I know comedian Shane Gillis sold cars for a while and basically said he took naps and read books and it wasn't good for him. So what do you think on that? Do you kind of like your time as a selling cars? Do you think it's something that students might want to consider?
Well, sure. That's one of the things. Obviously, with our programs, we have an automotive management program here at Kaiser University, and getting into the automotive industry is very fun and very lucrative. It's not necessarily for everybody. In terms of just selling cars itself, it does take a certain personality. Not everybody's going to make a great salesperson. You will work hard. You will work long hours, but it is very rewarding and very fulfilling on that. What a lot of people don't realize about the auto industry today is it's not like it used to be. It's not just I can sell cars or I can be a mechanic and fix cars. There's so many different things, everything from graphic design to accounting to high finance, marketing, customer relationships building, all of those different things. So no matter what your personality is, no matter what your skill set, there are really good jobs available in the automotive industry, and they're very high-paying jobs as well. So, just because maybe you're not that extrovert personality and think, I can't sell, well, maybe you can or maybe you can't, but there's so many other things that you can do, and like I said, it's very rewarding and very fulfilling.
It's definitely a good thing to think of. I do think people kind of get narrow-minded when they think about certain industries, but that can definitely, there are a lot of different things people can do. Well, that is great insight and great advice you've given us. Thank you for joining us. We'll have to have you on again pretty soon.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. I think that's about it for today. It's been a lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with all of you. So let's do it again soon. Because if you're not penny wise, you might just find yourself hanging outside of your best friend's ride, or constantly wiping dust from public transportation off of your thighs. And you don't want that to be your destiny, child. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and Wallet Hub for helping put this all together, and thanks to you for listening.